When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. We are in that window. In this hour, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to Texans Bills this Sunday. And that is in the bullpen, is it not?
Man, front row. Well, it was front row. Well, I better confirm on that. But it's in the bullpen. And it's the game of the year so far in Houston.
Man, it is going to be a blast. That's one of the things that's been cool about being at these games is just seeing like the level of energy. There was three distinct moments that I took note of during the game, and that's from the press box, right? Mm-hmm. Where I could tell, I was like, oh, it sounds crazy in here when it came to that Jacksonville game. And I imagine that with the Bills and like, I don't know that Bills fans will descend necessarily, but like even
they'll descend.
Bills fans are notoriously kind of wild, and the Texans fans have been standing up.
Yeah.
I think that it's going to be a blast in there, so you'll definitely want to keep it locked and call in when we get to that point to see if you can get that pair of tickets to the game on Sunday.
And they wearing them H-Town uniforms.
Oh, man, I meant to bring that up.
Thank you. Yes,
it is.
That's the most important thing, man.
So you'll see the H-Town blue.
The debut of it.
Yeah.
Yes. And
you got to wear your H-Town blue, man.
It'll be H-Town. We've seen people in them, and it just looks so damn cool.
It does. Yeah.
So excited to see that happen as well. And we'll be in the building for sure, because we always are. It's the home of Texans, Sports Radio 610. But you can also be in the building by listening to us. You're rolling with us. You know what I mean? But all right, let's talk about this Texas team. There's some things that we want to see cleaned up. We were just talking with B. Scott, actually, was that on air or off air, about some of the things on the D-line as well?
I think
it was off air. Yeah, that's the thing that's tough. Is like we have a fantastic conversation
show
for an hour straight. Exactly. Yeah. And the show doesn't start. So I'm like, how much did we get to give to the people, in fact? But one of the things is like, hey, you started the season with the IR, four games in. IR is now in an interesting spot. Like, what are we looking at? And specifically, like, with reinforcements that could maybe help this team get better. But also, what in the hell is happening with Christian Harris?
Yeah. Well, I got to admit, you know, again, this falls in that same category. I don't know if I said this on air or off. I think this was off air, but I will say it on air now. The Christian Harris thing to me, and I don't know anything. I try to.
Oh, are you about to get to the theory?
Yes.
All right. Before we get to the theory, let's actually get the head coach of this team, D'Amico Ryans, actually talking, because he was asked about it. Everybody's like, all right, well, Christian Harris, 4 weeks. That's that. He is now eligible to return off of IR if he's ready. What's happening with Christian Harris?
No, Christian won't be practicing this week, so he's still on the road to recovery. He's doing well, on the right track. We'll get him when we get him.
When you hear someone say on the road to recovery, are you thinking he's going to be practicing this week?
Well, he's not practicing.
No, he said he's not. But
we'll get him when we get him.
We get him when we get him. He's still on the road to recovery.
Basically, he said it is what it is.
I like to talk to people over there. I know a lot of people over there. That's not a humble brag or even a brag. I just, you know, that's what 35 years in the city does. And this has nothing to do with any sourcing or any talking with anyone or anything else. This is my gut feeling.
Ooh, a gut feeling.
A gut feeling. Ooh. Maybe it's experience talking, having seen this in the past several times.
Just right above the belly button.
Right above the belly button is where this is coming from. I have a hunch that Christian Harris had surgery.
Ooh.
Like it's a hamstring, right?
Yes, a calf. I couldn't quite remember.
I blocked out there. But it's a soft tissue injury that he aggravated after 1 day back on the field. Right, Figgy? One day he was on the field?
Yeah, the first day he came back. Remember, we saw Mixon out there. We're like, okay.
All right, they're back.
Chris Harris out there, and I want to say he kind of came up limping a little bit.
Yes. So I don't know, but this has all the markings, let me put it that way, that he may have had some sort of procedure done. And if you have a procedure done on soft tissue injuries, I looked it up yesterday just to double check, but most doctors, surgeons will tell you, that's a good 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, that's super, super interesting. And I mentioned this, maybe was it yesterday? It just feels weird because the team had almost pretended, not pretended necessarily, but it felt like Does the team even remember that Christian Harris exists? Like, we had not heard Christian Harris's name mentioned, really. And there was people, obviously, you know, fans of the team, like, hey, have you heard anything about Christian Harris? And the resounding answer was no, up until really yesterday when D'Amico gives us that. And even what he said there did not feel like it was something with urgency. And what's nice is, though, Henry Tolotoa has played to a level where I don't think that you're hard up for. We need Christian Harris back. But that would be helpful, right? It was made, I think, a great point made by Seth earlier today, Payne and Pendergast, 6 to 10 a.m. every weekday. And he was talking about the fact that they really have only used two linebackers. Like, I think there might have been one snap where Neville Hewitt got in this in the game in this first quarter.
No Jake Hansen.
Right? And so there, I mean, like, it's just those guys. And, like, that's a place where you might want to get maybe a little rotation, get some, keep those guys fresh and those types of things. And Christian Harris would help greatly in that way. But thankfully, Tolotoa's handled his business. It's just kind of it's a little discouraging.
No, it is. It's worrisome.
Worrisome, maybe.
However you want to put it. But no, it doesn't feel right.
There's like a film of this doesn't quite feel exactly how, okay, he might need one more week. That is not something that he said at all. Like, he stayed very far away from like giving us a particular timeline. Yeah. We'll get him back when we get him back. Is that leaves the door open, and that's something that is a little bit concerning to me. I'm not going to lie.
No, as well it should be. You know, especially the fact that he came back after missing a lot of camp, and they clearly were saying, we think he's good, and he aggravated it. And when you aggravate it, then you have all sorts of possibilities on the table, including maybe some sort of procedure.
So, okay, that's what we're hypothesizing. Just us in the loop are hypothesizing might be what's happening with Christian Harris.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Cares. But all right, let's talk about some other potential, reserves, reinforcements is the word that I'd like to use. Like, who are the reinforcements that might be on their way back? And I guess before I get into that, somebody said, nah, man, y'all need to call out the fans and tell them to learn when to make noise, like when the other team is on offense. I saw a lot of them sitting with their arms crossed, bunch of new ticket holders shaking my head.
SMH.
Shaking my head. All right, yeah. People, make sure that you're loud when you need to be loud. Also, your quarterback asked you at the beginning of the year, hey, man, you know, when we're on offense, let us be able to communicate in here.
They're asking for it.
So do people actually cheer when the Texans are on the offense?
I think it's just kind of loud. Like, there's energy and people maybe some cheering. Yeah. It's an NFL game, man. I mean, I get it. You know,
be a smart fan, Lopez.
Exactly. You should be, but I get it. You know, people are excited.
It seemed like human nature. I would be sitting down trying to pay attention to the game.
But you'd also be going, let's go, you know, and that's noise. It's not necessarily like, you know, the cheering to make noise to distract the defense or get them out of the game. It's just like you're loud, you're excited. All right, come on, CJ, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but when you're at home, you don't really do that. Look, you sit on the couch and watch it, and when a play happened, then
what I've learned is that some of us might not. Some people do.
Yeah.
And then you start asking, like, you think that they can hear you through the TV? But you know what? Fan how you want to fan. Do not let me tell you how to fan.
I have no issue with that. But it seems like it's a human nature of just kind of sitting down watching the game until something happens.
But not when people around you are making noise. Then you join in, you know?
Yeah.
Event, Figgy. It's an event.
It is. So be a part of the event.
Yeah.
Make an impact, I think, is what that texter is getting to. All right. So the potential reinforcements. The one that keeps coming up, right, and this was the guy that was designated for return at the start of the season when you had the roster cutdowns, like Christian Harris. Or actually, not designated for return because he has a suspension.
Yeah.
D'Amico Autry.
That's going to be huge.
You still got two more weeks on that, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. However, he feels like he's going to be really important because what we were talking about with B. Sky and his thoughts as he was talking about kind of the potential of that secondary to have some exposure with some of the big play opportunities that are there or just kind of not having that guy in the slot that can be a cover guy in the slot specifically. You got to make sure that you're getting home. You got to make sure that you're getting pressure. And you've had kind of the handing off from the guys in the interior, Fuller Rochelle, Fatukasi. You've had Mario Edwards. Those guys early on really did a lot of stuff pressure-wise. Then you had Tim Settle. He got a couple sacks. But, like, it's kind of been passing off. It will be, I imagine, it'll be a lot more consistent once you get Danico Autry, the dude that you paid to come in and do that and give you that level of pressure, because getting home is a must for this front line.
And frankly, the best players on this team, this defensive line, have been on the interior. I mean, I don't think that's a question. The interior defensive linemen have been the best along the defensive line. We mentioned it before. Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter have a combined 4 sacks in 4 games. You expected more than that. Bring in Danico Autry, and now we might be into onto something here, because he's a pass rushing specialist from the interior. He's also played the outside. So I think maybe you'll start seeing better rotations, I think he's going to be huge for this defense.
But 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
Right, like 2 more weeks on that one. That's the unfortunate part, but that's the one that I feel confident that as soon as you slot him in, you're going to see an uptick in that. Honestly, I'd say the same with Christian Harris. It's just that one does not seem like it's going to be a definitive once he is ready to go, he will go. I have an interesting name here. Jeff Okuda. Jeff Okuda, one of those veteran cornerbacks that we talked about that you brought in, you just didn't get a chance to see him right, very much, and he ends up getting injured in that first game of the season. He went on IR. So he's not going to be eligible, or he isn't eligible for returning this week, but after this week, heading into week 5, heading into week 6 rather, you have an opportunity for him to be come back. And I wonder, could Jeff Okuda be one of the potential answers to a slot corner problem that you might have here? Like, how do you feel about that, especially someone who was out at a lot of these practices during training camp and such?
I think he has it in him. I really do. I think he has it in him to be more of a cover, and maybe that turns into a rotational thing, depending on down and distance in the secondary, specifically with where Jalen Petrie lines up, where some of these other guys line up, because I think he has it in him to be that slot corner. But I'm with you. He's obviously underachieved. I'm not going to say he's been a bust, because he's played and he's made some plays, but he hadn't been a top 5 guy. Maybe that's going to be a spot where you get a little bit of a rotation, depending on down and distance.
Yeah, and especially that might be a, kind of situational guy, because I don't want to forget the fact that Jalen Petrie has been good in the things that they asked him, being kind of that nickel linebacker of sorts.
Yeah.
Coming up and hitting. Even in this game, you saw him make a couple of PBUs in zone where it feels like somebody who has his profile can shine, and you saw that. But when he ends up in kind of man situations, those were not the places that you wanted to be. And so I do wonder if maybe having Jeff Okuda as a potential handcuff in some ways, for lack of a better term, might be helpful in that. Not this week, but next week, that'd be the opportunity for him to return off of IR, provided that he's ready. Are there any other names that come up? Because I think those were some of the ones that we're talking about reinforcement-wise. I know Kirk Heinisch is also still out there.
Well, Heinisch, I don't know if he can add anything that they don't already have.
Right.
They've gotten a lot of, as you've talked about, Mario Edwards and Fatukasi, and then you got Danico Autry coming in. I don't know if there's a spot for Kurt Heinisch, to be honest, given the production. I mean, he'd have to fight for it, Otherwise, I mean, really, it just comes back to the usual suspects at running back, and I'm going to be very interested. I mentioned this yesterday, how they play Dari Agunbowale. Depending on some of these other backups, if Mixon comes back and you got Agunbowale and Pierce and Cam Akers, that's going to be interesting to watch, see how they play the running back position and maybe the return game.
Yeah, that will be interesting. We'll continue. Once they get into practice, I think that'll give us more insight into some of those things. But those are some of the reinforcements. And there it is. I was waiting for the text. We got it on the YouTube from Jeff. 713 also text. Don't forget the reinforcement that is whenever. J.J. Watt puts the jersey back on, baby.
Yeah.
Why is this so much of a thing? It's hilarious.
Because it's J.J. It's absolutely J.J.
Did he post a pick yet?
That would make for some interesting lineup decisions, because J.J. Watt's going to play when on the right distance, down in distance. But then you got Autry and all these other guys that have been playing. It'll be interesting. We'll see. We'll see.
Why did you even treat that like that was a real thing? Yeah, I'm the one who's supposed to be doing the bit. You're supposed to be the straight
this
man.
This ain't happening, man.
You're supposed
it
to be
ain't happening.
J.J. Watt if coming back.
If D'Amico Ryans picks up the phone and calls J.J. Watt.
He ain't picking up the phone to call J.J. Watt.
He said he might.
What?
J.J. said he'd pick up.
Why is he doing? Now I have to be the straight man.
D'Amico Ryans is a head coach. He said a lot of things.
He said D'Amico Lyon. That's crazy. 832 asks, why isn't Desmond King getting any opportunities?
I don't know.
That's a great question.
I don't know.
And it's not like he's a guy who comes in and you're like, well, he's getting up to speed on the system. If there is anybody that knows the system, Desmond King.
It seems like they're trying to get Petrie every chance they can.
Yeah.
Before they, I don't think they're going to trade him or nothing like that, but they trying to give him every chance he can to be good.
Desmond King isn't even active.
No.
You know? I don't understand that. The guy came in and actually helped this team a lot at the end of last year.
Well, yeah, I think it's a possibility he could play better in the slot than Petrie.
And I think
they kind of know it.
Yeah.
And so they trying to give Petrie every chance he can to be better. And if it don't work out, he might see a change.
Tick, 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 man.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You are right. All right. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610 coming up next. It's about that time for us to get into our lunchtime confessions.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, so I got to come clean. There's something I didn't tell you and Figgy about the chili that I brought y'all today.
Oh, no.
Right? I'm so happy I haven't eaten this shit.
Is a raccoon in it?
Hold on.
Would I be up? I'm trying to figure out if I'd be upset if it was raccoon.
So, I'm going to, just so people know, I'm entering a chili cook-off in October. And generally when I cook, I just kind of eyeball the ingredients and, you know, cut up stuff and put in these spices and that spices. So I did a test batch, which was 2 gallons. And you know, just so I can make sure I measure everything precisely, so when I get there, boom, 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 right?
You know that makes sense. That's actually smart, because you can't just make it in a small batch, because when you try and scale up.
Yeah, the spices tend, the flavor profile, as they like to say, gets different. So I said, you know what, I'm going to make the test batch, so when I get there, good to go. But it's a chili cook-off, okay? What I didn't tell you, and y'all might be good with this, I just feel like I need to confess and tell you. It's venison chili.
Oh, yeah.
We good?
Yeah.
Ah, Figgy's not answering.
I don't know. I never had it.
Venison or just venison chili?
Venison chili.
Okay.
Oh, it's fantastic. It turned out, I gave some to my kids, and they're, by the way, I'm going to be going against one of my sons in the competition. He's making his own.
Yeah, I thought you were going to tell me that we were even about to eat like giraffe.
I thought you were about to say dog food in the chili.
Yeah. But I feel like I need to come clean.
The Wayans Brothers episode, man.
But you should give some to your wife without telling her it's venison first. Because it...
Yeah.
What reaction were you expecting?
I didn't know. Some people don't eat wild game.
Mm.
You know? And so I thought, I better tell
them. Well, I never grew up eating it. So yeah. I'm fine with it.
It turned out really good, if I do say so myself. But
I trust you.
I'll be the judge of that.
Y'all be the judge of that.
Yeah, I trust you. So do you gotta let them know at the chili cook-off? Or?
Yeah, you know, you put your category. What type of chili are you making?
Okay.
You know, some people are doing regular old chili, you know, pork and or beef or whatever. I'm doing venison as my... Because you gotta stand out. Sure. And my son is doing actually... a kind of a spin on Cincinnati chili, because he actually makes a Cincinnati chili that's good.
So he's going to put it on spaghetti?
Because I don't like Cincinnati chili. What do they call it? Whatever they call it.
What, Skyline?
Skyline. But his is actually very good. So you're trying to stand out to the judges and the fans, and I mean the people that are there and all that stuff. So I was like, I better tell them it's venison. I better tell them it's venison. I wasn't going to do it.
No matter what, is it good with cornbread? Is my most important question.
Yes, it is.
All right, I feel like venison is kind of like a household name.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah.
Like you got, when you do tamales, you got venison. You got chicken.
Yeah,
beef. Exactly. People make venison tamales.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Remind me
every year.
Remind me. Have you had
mine?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did. Woo. Yeah. Okay.
Boy, I
think that was the first time I ever had venison.
Yeah, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think I've been so excited for Christmas in my life.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I don't think Monday Night Football doubleheader should exist. I don't think they should. And I understand. I mentioned this to B. Scott earlier. And B. Scott, I appreciate the point, and I think it's reasonable and it makes sense. The idea that when you maybe, just maybe, get a stinker like the one that we were getting between the Titans and the Dolphins, mm-hmm. it's nice to have another one that delivers, especially in the way that Seahawks Lions did.
Yeah.
And the kind of staggered starts that they had. But allow me to counter.
To retort?
Allow me to retort, right? I think it's nice to have have you worked in retail before?
Oh, yeah.
You worked
in retail
before?
I did, for sure.
I think most of the short time.
A little bit, yeah.
I feel like that is the new, in the new era of work, is just like everybody did some time in retail or mm-hmm. food service. I feel like a bad primetime game is kind of the equivalent of, hey, it's a slow day, so we gonna let you go home early. I would much rather have, oh, I don't have to watch football tonight, right? Like, because
that's
the game is out
point.
Here.
I'm out.
I'm gonna put on the game station, or I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna
Sopranos.
Go watch a book,
watch
or I'm
a show.
Gonna watch a show.
Yeah.
Because look, NFL is already trying to take over the entirety of our week, mm-hmm. right? And that's if you just watch the NFL. If you watch college football, your Saturdays are gone. Maybe your Fridays, too, as they're trying to encroach on that. Basketball season comes around, all right. Wednesdays and Thursdays are gone, and Fridays, and actually Tuesdays as well, right? Like, you start just, and I love sports, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you need a little bit of time to breathe every once in a while. And sometimes,
I think it's a good point.
What was nice is having a game where it's the only one on, and maybe it's a bad one, and I could just step away from it. But no, now mm-hmm. I had to go watch another great game. Thanks
they,
for nothing.
They should do the double. I think they did this in the past where I want to say the first two weeks of the season, mm-hmm. it was a doubleheader.
But that
I'm
was
fine
just dip,
with that.
That was dipping their toe, and then they're like, oh, we can do this, and they're going to do more of it.
Yeah.
The NFL is never content. They're like, can we do
we
more?
We want more. That's what they do. The NFL says we want more.
That's right.
I've been seeing a lot of people post and talk about this on social media, and it kind of got me nervous a little bit. I'm a little nervous about the port strike.
I saw that.
I'm a little nervous about it, man. Like, I could be overreacting to it, but
prices are going to go up.
Someone texted us and was like, make sure you got yourself a full tank and maybe have some extra cash.
Somebody said full tank. I seen somebody say you better get your toilet paper together mm-hmm. because it could be $40 for toilet paper.
Hey,
and
yo.
That's why I'm like, it kind of got me thinking. I got to confess this too. I would be awful if apocalypse end up happening.
Correct.
Man.
Yeah.
I would be the if you see these movies and the first person gone in the movie, that would be me. I would not be able to survive, man. I actually might end it all myself. So I don't have to deal with this,
I've thought about this long and hard in the same ways that, like, you know, you and your friends will have conversations, nonsense conversations about what would you do in an apocalypse.
Yeah.
I've had this conversation and I'm just like, I don't want the hassle.
Yeah, I'm out.
Get me out of here.
Literally out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all seen the TV show The Last of Us, which is based off of a video
game. Yeah.
Off a video game. I think in the show, they actually, it was a guy or a couple or something that took, like, some sleeping medicine that make you go to sleep forever. I would do something like that, man. I couldn't last if that type of stuff happened.
Oh, man.
Because your reward for fighting and making it another day is that you get to get up and fight and make it another day.
Yeah, is it worth it at this point?
Although I guess that's a fairly nihilistic look that you can look at any point in time, so maybe I shouldn't continue down that road.
Like, this ain't fun. That don't sound fun at all. Like, what? How do that sound fun?
It does not. It does not at
good.
All.
I'm good. It's been a good run. That's how I put it. Watch this.
These are my confessions. Speaking of the apocalypse, this is kind of in the same category. I honestly have no idea, sincere confession, why Houston, and look, this is a somewhat of a political thing, but I don't even know which side stands on what. I don't even know. Exactly, ISO.
Switching the music.
I don't even know what side stands for what in this discussion. So I'm totally ignorant to the political aspect of it, even though I know it is political. Why the hell do we not have rapid transit better, like trains? Did you see the news today? It happened right before the show.
No.
Starting next year, which is just in a matter of a few months, Houston is going to totally redo its highways again. And it said highways. This is highways.
No.
$9 billion impacting 450 acres, displacing 344 business, businesses, several homes. They're going to redo pretty much every highway in Houston to add a lane.
Over the course of how long?
Yes, years.
Okay.
Like, that's all we need, first of all, is more construction on the highways. And secondly, by the time they finish adding a lane, they're going to need another lane.
Yeah.
Like, it happened, never fails.
It'll just incentivize more traffic, baby.
Never, ever, ever fail.
Traffic.
I mean, every major city has rapid transit. I'm not talking about these little cute little buses that are and trains that are going to NRG Park. I'm talking about
little buses. That's crazy.
Like legit Chicago, New York. I mean, all these places that have trains. Why can't we do it right once?
Yeah, I mean, it would be helpful.
You think?
Have some
7 million people, whatever it is, 8 million?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see you guys staying out of this.
Yeah.
It's all you, buddy.
I gave you a decent amount of support.
Hey, I'm sure somebody gonna text in. Who the hell is this idiot on the air right now talking about this?
Well, yeah, we got 979 rather. Would you take the train?
Yes, and I do in other cities. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, just sincerely, yes.
Yeah.
You're sitting on your high horse.
I understand and appreciate what you're doing here, but I personally would, to be completely honest.
I do. When I'm traveling, it's easier.
Yeah. But yeah, I get it. Yeah, we're just gonna leave John there. Sorry, dog.
Find out who your friends are,
buddy. I was gonna be your friend, but then I also ran from the grind completely. And I will go entirely away from that and mention I am very easy in this regard. Apparently, you tell me steak nine, I'm there. Shout out to the Legacy Cigar Lounge. They had the steak night yesterday. I know that Sean was out there, and I was like, well, Sean's out there, and it's a steak night. Let's go. And, buddy, I had fun, man. It was a great time. We were watching the game in there, smoking cigars all over the place.
Yeah.
Got a few of those to go as well. And I'm a happy man. That's all it took. Very, very easy.
Steak night is one of those terms that just automatically everybody gets.
Ooh.
You get everybody's attention.
It's like,
steak night. Oh, wow, steak night. I didn't know you were having steak night.
So, yeah, just easy. Just if you let me know it's a steak night. And yeah, that's a great way to get me there. Watch this.
I can't even lie, man. I'm all in on this LeBron and Bronny storyline.
Oh, boy.
Hey, let me be clear. I am not a Lakers fan, never been a Lakers fan at all. I don't really care for LeBron outside of him being in the Cavs uniform. But this story, I feel like this story is so cool, man. For some reason, just seeing him with his son in the same uniform, just joking around and stuff like that. I'm kind of in on it now, man. I watched their media day a little bit, and it's a cool thing to see, man. I don't know if we'll ever see this again or not anytime soon.
There's intrigue.
I'm kind of in on it, man. I don't think Bronny gonna be that good, but just the whole storyline and the headlines of it, I'm kind of in on it now, man.
I get it. I'm not. But there is intrigue. But I get it. You know what? I got another quickie here real quick. Watch
this. Are you going to do the politics again?
It's not politics, is it?
Oh, come on.
It's not, is it?
Again.
So there's a special report on ABC right now.
Yes.
Like missile after missile after missile. I guess Iran launched
missiles. Is that a missile going?
Those are all missiles. Those are all missiles. I guess Iran launched a missile strike against Israel and whatever. That I'm setting that aside. Here's my confession. The first thing I thought of, and I told Reggie during a break.
Can't confirm.
No Astros.
Are they going to move the Astros? Are they going to preempt the Astros?
Yeah, we're about an hour away from when the Astros are slated to start.
Is this a little more important than the Astros?
Screw World War III. I want the Astros.
All right, I'm just going to go ahead and set the disclaimer right now. Distasteful joke coming. These are not the bombs that I'm trying to see right now.
Oh, wow.
I tried.
You tried.
I did.
Actually, you didn't really try that hard.
I tried to make it.
Want to see some Yordan bombs.
You know what? Yeah, exactly. You know what? I'm going to go ahead.
Reggie bomb.
What we're going to do is we're just going to stop what we're doing here in the segment. I'm going to immediately commence writing my apology because, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. My bad, y'all. But, yeah, those are our lunchtime confessions, which may be canceled after this segment. You never know. Here in The Loop, Sports Radio 610. Hope you are having a wonderful Tuesday. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. And you know what? Just because I feel like it, Let's do it right now. Heck in honor of the boogeyman himself, Nico Collins, caller number 12 to 713-572-4610 will get a pair of tickets to the bullpen to see your Texans take on the Bills on Sunday. Again, caller number 12, 713-572-4610 will win those tickets. Best of luck to you. Appreciate you hanging out with us. All right, coming up next, it's a Tuesday. Let's do some college football on a Tuesday. Revisit the weekend that was in college football. We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Appreciate you listening to Sports Radio 610. You're in the loop with John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you. Let's get into some college football on a Tuesday. It was a fun weekend. Lopez, how would you categorize it, actually? Let me not be... I'm going to let you give me your feeling on the weekend.
Well, obviously, you know, the headliner was Alabama-Georgia,
yes.
And that was a wow game. One of the best individual games ever. One of the best individual plays that you'll see two or three times over, especially Ryan Williams. And Bama took over number one, if you didn't know that already, from Texas. Who cares? That's my big playoff implication with all this is, oh wow, Alabama took over number one. Who cares?
Numbers do not care at this
point. They don't matter at all. Nope. For the first top eight, ten teams. After that, there's going to be some shuffling that's going to affect the playoff. Alabama's cool. Texas is cool. Georgia's cool. Ohio State's cool. You know, they're going to be in the playoff. You can rank me first or fourth. I don't care.
So when it comes down to that, the larger perspective, all right, cool. How do you feel about these two teams specifically when we're talking about Georgia, Alabama, the big game of the week where Georgia looked like they were getting absolutely stomped up until they didn't? I actually think I feel a little bit better about Georgia than I had previously because they looked like it really did not. Alabama looked like they had the offensive acumen that Kalen DeBoer brings. That team looked like a Kalen DeBoer team as opposed to like an Alabama team that Kalen DeBoer was coming in trying to figure out. He's like, no, I'm just bringing my thing here.
Yeah.
And they looked like they kind of ran out of gas on keeping it ahead of Georgia once Georgia got into what was a smarter way of running things.
Yeah.
And not sitting back and kind of taking this for granted.
What you're saying is Nick Saban held Alabama back.
So that. I didn't hear that at all.
Because there's a little bit of a whisper about that out there in the Twitterverse and in the social media world.
I am saying that Kalen DeBoer had that offense humming, but I think also like Kalen DeBoer did not have like he barely hit, like all right, I'll put it like this. You let that game run an extra 5 minutes of game time, I think Alabama loses that football game.
They might. And I think I'm with you on the Georgia take because they looked very, very gettable, especially after, you know, how they played against Kentucky and then how they played in the first half. And maybe that switch flipped, you know. Well, it did flip in that game, but maybe it flipped in such a way that you know, they're going to start rolling. I'm telling you, man, there's some very interesting teams out there that clearly made a difference and an impact for me this week. And then one of them obviously is Tennessee. The other one is Kentucky, man. I mean, that's no cheap win at Ole Miss. Ole Miss was number six in the country and really humming with a terrific offense as they often have lately. Kentucky barely lost to Georgia. They beat Ole Miss. And keep an eye on Kentucky, because at the end of the year, they're playing number four Tennessee and number two Texas, both on the road. If they're on to something and they can win both of those games, they're in.
Sure. Yes.
But look what they did to Georgia.
Yeah.
Look what they did to Ole Miss on the road.
I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
They are Iowa-like in that they are going to bring this. They're going to slow this game down. That defense is going to be a problem. I don't know that they have enough to like actually be contender type things.
Yeah.
And so I think that they could absolutely play good enough football, as you're pointing to be in that, you know, that final area of this, right? Getting to that playoff discussion. But when it comes down to like actually being a team that needs to be reckoned with, and maybe that's an unfair distinction to make. I'm not. And like it's a credit to Mark Stoops, but I think that's kind of the ceiling on the style of play and the way that they are.
I agree. I'm not picking Kentucky. I'm saying, given what they've done,
sure,
and those two games at the end of the year, boy, they got to do. But I'm saying, you know, it's there in front of them. One other thing that stood out to me this week is when this whole you know, what do they call it? Group of five team.
Yeah, I don't even know what we're calling that anymore. Just non-P4 is the way
that
I'm going.
Yeah, non-P4, group of five, whatever you want to call it. I was a big ho-hum on that. But it's getting interesting. Like I'm not saying they're going to have a chance, but they're, you know, there's going to be a really interesting team get in the college football playoff.
Well, there's two of them that come to mind for me.
There's three of them that come to
mind. Okay, I want to hear what the third one is for you. So, for me, first and foremost, Boise State will be here.
That's one of them.
And it is behind the legs of the best running back in the nation.
Yeah.
I say that full-throatedly with my chest. Mm-hmm. Ashton Jeanty is a problem, ladies and gentlemen.
He had like 750 something yards already here.
That is a just
like he's off the charts good.
Yes.
He is off the charts good.
And so, yeah, remember that name, Ashton Jeanty, like the best running back in the nation. Go ahead and say that to your friends. Make yourself feel good.
Yeah, you'll feel smart. And then the other two is what makes it so interesting to me. So every year we go to the
259 Army. 259 yards this week.
Yes. I think he has 750 something for the season.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So, Figgy, you ready for this? You ready for this? Every year we go to the Army-Navy game.
Yeah.
It's a blast. They could both be undefeated. All they have to do is whichever one of those teams, either or both of those teams, can beat Notre Dame. And Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. Like, if one or both of those teams beat Notre Dame, and they have the style of football that can muck it up, you know, they're both undefeated right now. How cool would it be to be at the Army-Navy game with a chance to get into the playoff?
That would be crazy,
with a
man.
Chance to get into the playoff. Again, I'm not predicting it. I'm not calling it. I'm just saying it's right there.
Yeah.
It's right there. And Notre Dame has shown, although lately, you know, pretty strong, but they've shown some susceptibility.
And that's fair.
Yeah.
I did want to, so you were pointing to the service academies, and they look like they're doing some fun, good football things.
Yeah.
Including throwing the football a little bit, which was interesting. But the other non-Power 5, or Power 4 rather, that I was pointing to, funny enough, UNLV.
Yeah.
UNLV is one of those which makes the all the conversation that we were having about what's old boy, Sluka?
He gone.
maybe not the best decision on his. And to be fair, also this season he had a 43% completion percentage.
Yes.
So like, maybe that conversation was. I mean, in specific to like him being that guy was maybe wrong. But they're out here still being really good without Sluka. In fact, the wide receivers very much seem to be like, nah, we're not really worried about that. We are on to this. And they're playing a really good brand of football to the point where I think that, yes, they are absolutely exist as one of those teams. They beat the mess out of a Fresno State team that's not bad, right?
No.
That 59-14, and they put it on them. And the dude that's starting, actually, I'm looking at Keen from Fresno State, but the dude that is starting for UNLV, Haj Malik Williams, they stumbled into something. He 182 yards, three touchdowns, which is about what you need, right?
And they two are undefeated. UNLV. I guess the story with UNLV is it pays to not pay. You know, when it
that is the part that I will stand 10 toes down on, is that we just need better, you know, litigation around all this. We need all of this to be better established so that we know, hey, these are the rules around which you can do this. These are the contractual obligations that can be held to account. Like, that is the stuff that is very, very apparent from the Sluka situation.
Yeah.
What is also apparent in a different way is, hey, man, you did not have the juice that you thought you did.
Yes.
You absolutely did not.
You weren't. You absolutely did not. And then the last thing that really stood out to me is I think we have our four finalists, our four players going to New York for the Heisman Trophy. I think it's pretty much established and probably won't change very much. Travis Hunter is going to New York for the Heisman.
Yeah.
Cam Ward is going to New York for the Heisman. You mentioned Ashton Jeanty. He's going to New York for the Heisman. And I think Jalen Milroe is going to New York for the Heisman. I think those are the four leaders early on, and I don't know how much it's going to even change.
Yeah, I think that you're right in that regard. And it does feel like there's a small chance that it even deviates from that at all. I'm with you. Another thing, we got news today that Gonzaga University will be joining the Pac-12. They're getting real close to having a really interesting thing in the Pac-12, as Oregon State and Washington State are all obviously there. And they've been adding various programs. It looks like in 2026, you'll have those two programs plus Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, San Diego State, Utah State, and Gonzaga, the only non-state school as of right now. And They still need a football program to be added, but they're looking like they'll be able to survive in the course of this. So I guess a salute to the Pac-12 and getting a little bit of basketball, but then also getting themselves, you know, more programs there. I still think that they need to just, you know, stop being too prideful and go ahead and merge with the Mountain West and get that together. But I want to do this. It's a college football on a Tuesday, and I don't feel like we have to stick to Division I.
Oh, over here?
I feel like we need, well, yes, we need to give, that is Division I, give that love when it came to, and not just Division I, FBS, in fact.
Yeah.
Big game at NRG Stadium this weekend between Sam Houston State and Texas State. Shout out to Sam Houston State pulling off what was a fantastic comeback. They were down by like 22 points after, what, a
early
quarter? It was
early.
Real early, and they just decided we are going to run the damn football, ultimately getting a game-winning field goal at the end of it. It seemed like I wish I had an opportunity to put eyes on this game, because just like
I just saw the highlights, but it
highlights
was,
looking back at it, I was like, "Yo, this game looked like it was fun." So go ahead and like mark that down consistently for the rest. Like I want
to
see that.
It's
always
fun to go to that game.
Yeah, I want to see that one consistently.
Always.
Like we were talking about that with B. Scott. Let's reignite that rivalry between Sam Houston State and Texas State, because that delivered. And one more. This is where I'll move out of Division I to Division II, I believe, if I remember correctly. And something wild happened in the course of a game in Division II with Frostburg State. They were facing off against the team Mercyhurst. Mm-hmm. This was their first home game as a D. As a,
I feel like you're making these
D1
up.
D1 program. No, these are real. And this happened in Pennsylvania. And so I think to start the second half, this happened.
Teed up at the 35, and it's an onside kick, and Frostburg State, just like that, recovers the football. The onside kick kicking off is, I believe, Austin Paul. No, Harrison
Come
Fritz
on,
it is. He will kick off. And another onside kick. Are you kidding me? Frostburg State did it again. Look at the Frostburg bench across the way. They are hooping and hollering.
They start the game with back-to-back onside kicks with different kickers.
Yeah.
That's how you put it on the table.
That's shades of that Arkansas high school coach that never kicked off. Remember that a few years ago? Like he always did onside kicks because he played the odds and figured that whatever it would. And I forgot what it is, what his name was.
Well, it worked out for them. They got a big win there. So shout out to Frostburg State being real bold. That made me want to fight though.
Yeah,
you gonna kick on? You're on an onside kick at the start of the game twice. Oh, we're
trying
fighting.
To play me.
We are fight. Exactly. You don't respect me.
Yeah, you trying to play me like a sucker.
Who do you think?
Well,
I
it
am?
Worked.
Yeah, it did. That's the tough part. You can't get too mad. Yeah. You let it happen. There you go.
But Frostburg State. What?
That is a great question.
The snowman.
Because I wow. I will get you that answer eventually because I definitely don't have it.
It's got to be the snowman, right?
I know. They wouldn't lean that heavily into
Why
it, would
not?
They?
The Frostburg State snowman.
Also, I can't tell you exactly where Frostburg State is either.
I bet it's cold.
Sound okay. Like, was it Pennsylvania?
Maryland.
Maryland, okay.
Apparently.
Yeah.
And
that was close.
I wouldn't have guessed. You could have given me a lot of them. I wouldn't have
I bet it's something stupid like Tigers.
They are the Bobcats. So you
told you.
Yeah, Big Cat is always
Come
a good
on,
way to go.
Man.
When you're looking for a nickname, Big Cat is always
go
the way
with
to
a
go.
Cat.
Come
Bobcat.
On, man. You got to do better than that. What's the other school? Mercyville? What was it?
Buddy, you're asking a
that
lot.
That sounds like a prison.
It was Mercy something.
I was like, it is the Mercyhurst.
Mercyhurst.
Mercyhurst Lakers.
Oh, they should have been the Cowards.
All right, okay.
The Mercy Cowards.
Okay, let's move this along. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get back to...
Let's go, Cowards. That would be a great calling card.
You can't actively call yourself the Cowards. That's not what you're trying to do. I don't have time for you right now, Lopez. I really don't. Where is the biggest worry with this Texas team moving forward? Let's talk about it next.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.